at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Chapter 11, the Gospel of Luke.
So page 92 in the New Testament section of the Church Bible. Jesus is teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this: Father, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. Give us day by day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who does us wrong. And do not bring us to hard testing." And Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and say, 'Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on a journey has just come to my house, and I haven't got any food for him.' And suppose your friend should answer from inside, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' Well, what then? I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you the bread because you are his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need, because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For all those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find, and the door will be opened to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for fish? Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? Bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen.
Well, as we've got a church meeting that follows, I'll be a little bit shorter than normal. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your word. And we pray now that the words on the page might come to life in the present, that we might learn more of you and your calling upon us. We ask this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the International Common Lectionary Gospel reading for today is the reading we just had read. And if you're wondering what the Common Lectionary is, it's a selection of readings that are designated for every Sunday, well, in fact, every day throughout the year. And here today we come to this reading in Luke, where a disciple asks Jesus how to pray. Jesus was a man of prayer. You'll remember he was praying when the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. He began his ministry with 40 days of fasting and prayer in the wilderness. And at other times he withdrew into the wilderness to find a quiet space to pray. He prayed all night before he chose his 12 disciples. He was praying alone just before he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Just before the transfiguration, he took Peter, James, and John up the mountain to pray. And as we see, he was praying here at the beginning of our passage in Luke. As a human, Jesus sought his strength and guidance from his Father in prayer. It was Peter in his first letter who wrote of Jesus as the perfect pattern. So it's not really surprising that a disciple should ask Jesus to teach them to pray. And he says, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" Jesus was saying that our first desire, our first request, should be that God's name is hallowed or honored or glorified, and that his kingdom should advance more fully in our lives, in our church, and in the world. It means that in our praying, our prayers must always become God-centered. The glory of God's name and the advancement of God's kingdom should always be our primary concern. You'll have experienced occasions like this. It's like we know when we're in a different atmosphere. It's like a higher one. When we hear somebody pray with the priorities of Jesus. Perhaps it sounds something like this. Father, we long to see you honored more and more in the life of our church, in our town, in our country, and in the world. Restore, O Lord, the honor of your name amongst us. Magnify your worth and your glory in our midst, and let your kingdom come. Take up your kingly rule more fully over this church and our lives, our families, our town, and beyond. We pray that you might meet our physical needs so that we can press on with joy in the work that you call us to do for your name's sake. Lord, forgive us when we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, and protect us from being tripped up by temptation so that we might not bring your name into disrepute. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now, there might be thousands, if not more than thousands, different ways to say all of that. But my plea is not just that you use my words, but that you have Jesus' priorities and that you express them in your praying so that the Father's name is honored and that his kingdom might come. Now, if that feels a little alien to you, if you perhaps never pray for the name of God to be honored or God's kingdom to come, don't be content today to stay stuck there. Instead, say in a fresh new way to God this week, Father, may your name be hallowed in my life and in my praying. Make the glory of God the center of your prayers. Perhaps pray again and again in as many different ways as you can think of. Father, let your name be hallowed and let your kingdom come. Now also here, Jesus teaches us to pray with a sense of protection or security in the Father's love. He doesn't want us to feel insecure in our prayers. He shows this by teaching us to call God Father. And later Jesus says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who do bad things, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The words how much more mean that God is much more inclined to hear us and to help us when we pray than even your earthly parents are. He wants for us to feel secure in the Father's love when we come to him in prayer. He doesn't want us to feel unsure of our acceptance or fearful that we might find the Father unconcerned. We need to know that sense of security in our prayer and in our worship. I don't know, perhaps you've experienced times in your life when times seem uncertain, maybe you've been feeling down, and somebody who's significant to you gives you that embrace. And for that moment, when embraced, you feel that sense of security. That's what it's like. You can't sustain a life of prayer if you think that God is stonewalling you or is angry with you or even neutral to you. Prayer is sustained by our confidence that God is our Father and he is concerned and that his character is just as Jesus puts it. He is more inclined to give what we need than the best human parent. That's the promise. So pray with a sense of security in a Father's love. And Jesus teaches us to be persistent in prayer without doubting that we are loved. by hanging in there, persevering, persisting, not giving up. Keep on asking and seeking and knocking, and the answer comes. Now, it may not always be the answer you were looking for. The idea of persisting feels somehow inconsistent with the direction to feel secure in the Father's love. If God is more caring than the best earthly parent, then why would he sometimes be slow to respond to our prayers? Well, Jesus tells the story of a man who goes to his friend's house in the middle of the night to say that a guest just arrived and there isn't enough in the house to feed him. Could you please get up and lend me 3 loaves of bread? And the man says, the door's locked. The children are asleep in the room. Don't bother me now. In Jesus' day, the door would have been open all day for anyone to walk in. It would have only been locked at night when everybody went to bed. A door locked meant do not disturb. You don't expect to be disturbed at midnight. But his friend keeps knocking and asking until the man gets up, not because of his friendship, but because of the man's persistent knocking. And the word translated in the Greek as persistence here might be better translated as shamelessness. It feels like a strange image of prayer. But Jesus says there's a lesson to learn here. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. And in the Greek, there's a sense of continuous action. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And Jesus commands this continuous action 3 times. And then the 3 words used get increasingly close to the answer and shows a pressing in on God. Asking, as it were, for the house, seeking until we find it, and then knocking until the door is open. Asking is the simplest and requires us not to move. Seeking turns asking into an activity of pursuit. Knocking on the door again and again signifies our persistence, our shamelessness. And so Jesus clearly wants us to be like this friend who keeps knocking. He wants us to be shameless in our praying. Jesus qualifies his point by saying that God is not like that friend. He is like the most caring father imaginable. God is lavish in the gifts he wants to give us. But God sometimes gives us what we need only after a long season of prayer. But it's not because he's uncaring or insensitive or unable. But the question is, why does he leave us waiting? Well, he says that a good father will not give his child a serpent if he asks for a fish. In other words, a good father will only give his children what is good for them. There is something in the persistence, the asking, the seeking, and the knocking that we need, that is good for us. God knows what is best for us. And finally, Jesus says, bad as you are, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I mentioned at the beginning that Luke, back in chapter 3, writes of Jesus praying as the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Remember, the Spirit descending on the disciples at Pentecost came at the climax of 10 days of their prayer. Remember this. God waits because our waiting is good for us. Never lose heart. May our praying be always God-centered, with that sense of security in the loving embrace of the Father, with a new resolve to persist in prayer and never doubting his love. He knows what's best for you, and he lavishes us with the most amazing gift. He gives his power, his gifts, his fullest blessing through his Spirit. So remember, when you pray, that you go to the one who knows your needs better than you know them yourself, and whose heart is one of generous love. If you don't receive what you pray for, it's not because God refuses to give it to us, but because he has something better to give to us. The answer may not be the answer we desired or expected, but it will always, always be the answer of the love and the wisdom of God. Amen.